wonderful to be here once again. Now the cold spells are gone. We can't pretend ice is on the way, is it? Anyone have a chunk of ice on your front door? Show me by hand. It's gone. Where did it go? It's an amazing God, isn't it? Wonderful. Hey, we have to give God the glory. You see, and I always say that God knows when there are too many germs in the atmosphere. So he had to bring all those, ice and snow to just freeze them out and clean the atmosphere for us. And no money can do that. Only God can do that. Amen. I'm here to share the word of God with you. And I know we've prayed a lot, but I want you to take a few minutes, or maybe even seconds. Pray for yourself today. Just bow down your head and pray. And just say, God, speak to me through your word. Let me hear your voice, O God. Let me hear you talking to me as an individual. Just talk to God. And as you talk to God, trust him that he will hear you. Trust him that he will talk to you. And after you've done that, thank him for the privilege of sitting here today to hear the voice of God speak to your heart. Also pray for me that God will give me utterance to speak to you today by his power and by his spirit. Father, I thank you today that I will decrease, but Jesus Christ will be exalted. I pray that your name will be exalted above your word. Today, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. I pray that by the Holy Spirit, anoint me, O God. Give me anointing for today, just to be a blessing to your people. Give us a divine revelation of your word, the truth of it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, today I'm going to talk to you about a subject, a people that have a heart to build. A people that have a heart to build. And this message is taken from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17, and I read, "And now it was in the heart of my father David," that is Solomon speaking, "and now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel." David had it in his heart, and his son knew it. And when Solomon was making this statement, David wasn't dead, he was alive. But he said, "And now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel." Now, my understanding of Scripture and what I've been looking through this week is that Solomon, at the time of talking, he was talking about a second building project that God had done with his people. In fact, there are three building projects in the Old Testament that God is involved with his people. God's upper story plan is to be with his people. And today I want you to be in that position, not to be too familiar with God's word, but to open your heart to hear, because that will be a blessing to you. God's upper story, that is his overarching plan, is to be with his people, meaning God wants to be with you. Who is sitting right here? God wants to be with you. Turn to someone and say, "God wants to be with you." Say it again. One more time. And then look at the person in the eye and said, "Go and say, God is with me." Say it again. In case they don't know, say it again. Amen. God is with you. God is with me. His overarching plan is to be with that so that we can see his power, his provision, and his purpose for every man and every woman. So today, if you are saying God is with you, or I'm saying God is with you, then God wants you to experience his power. God wants you to experience his provision. God wants you to experience the purpose for which you are here today and the purpose for which you are existing. Hallelujah. Amen. God is with you. God wants our lower story plans to coincide with his. In order for each one of us to reach our redemptive potential, let me explain that to you. God wants us, our lower story plan. God is up and we are down, isn't it? Or if you think God is sideways, you are the other side of it. But God is above us. That is why we say upper story, overarching. That envelopes us. And our lower story, that means our day-to-day life and the stories concerning us, God wanted to coincide with his overarching plan for us in order that each one of us will reach our redemptive potential, why God saved us to be his people. So God's plan, your plans coinciding, then you will know why God saved you so that you achieve your purpose here in this earth. God loves us so much that he chose to make his habitation with us. In the biblical word, to dwell with us, so we will be close to him. God, because he loves us so much, that he chose to be with us so that we'll be close to him. God wants you and me to be up close and personal with him. Do you understand that? You see, God does not wish any of his children to be further away from him. He is reaching out. That is why he's relentlessly pursuing us for a relationship. You see, it's just like a man see a woman. I'm a man, right? Or maybe a young man, if you think I'm that young. Well, the Lord is laughing because me and him reaching some age soon. Or benchmarks soon. Nobody should tell us. We know it. What we are trying to say is that when a man see a woman, you can't wait to go to the next date, isn't it? Only one woman knows this. That means the rest of you, you are either lying or you don't know it or you have no feelings. It is true when a woman sees a man or a man sees a woman that their heart jumps to, they can't wait to be closely related to, isn't it? Thank you. Now you're all human now. It is ever so true. So, God wants to have a relationship with us. So, God can't wait, so he pursues us. Just like your boyfriend, your husband, your spouse, or your girlfriend pursues you. Isn't it? Good Lord. Only God knows how much money I clocked on the red phone box. Nothing more to say. Then they brought a green phone card. Anyone remember that? Exactly. BT, I want my money back. Now, I just want you to understand that God wants to pursue us for a relationship because he loves us so much. For that reason, the Bible said God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means God wants to continue that relationship, that close relationship, that love life. He wants to continue to eternity. That is God's agenda for you and me. Now let me press on. Mankind has always, in spite of God's love, had a tendency to do otherwise and rebel against God and choose our own agenda apart from God. In spite of that, God still chose to be with us because of his great love, which never fails, so we can hear his voice clearly and do what is right for our own benefit and blessings. In the Old Testament, we see God showed this love and this determination and this relentlessness to pursue us for a relationship in three written projects. First, during the time of Moses, then during the time of David, and then during the time of Zerubbabel. We will take these three as we go along. But not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, there's also three building projects. You may write it down. We see this project in Jesus Christ. He once told his disciples, if you destroy this temple, God will raise it up in three days, isn't it? Jesus Christ is one of the building projects in the New Testament. Then God talks about his church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the second building project. Then God will come for his church, the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. God will come for his redeemed. I mean, those people who press on and those who persist and worship God truly, sacrificially, and passionately, and who really will give everything for our God. He will come and redeem them one day unto himself. Hallelujah. There are some who've gone before us. But Bible says that those people who have died in the Lord do not think that they are going to die in vain, for they shall rise first. And those of us who are, remaining and living, hear this, who are living and remaining and remaining and living, will rise up and be caught up with them in the sky. So it's not everybody who's going, you know. So God's story is that three building project, Old Testament, three building project in New Testament. It's not just sheer coincidence. God has a reason. For that reason, it is always a privilege for any group of people to have a place of meeting they call a church, a chapel, a sanctuary, a temple, or a tabernacle to worship God and hear him and be encouraged on a regular basis. Hallelujah. You see, for this reason of both the Old Testament and both the New Testament and our destiny, it is a privilege for you and me to have a place like this that we can be encouraged, that we can hear God's voice, that we can be exalted, right? Same as encouragement. That we can be egged on to say, come on, just like you go into the stadium and then somebody is running. We say, come on, Olympics, Winter Olympics has just ended and I was routing for the English people. Well, we got 6 medals, so don't poo-poo it, right? Once upon a time, we go and we just be part of it. So if we've got 6 medals, we've done so well, isn't it? Exactly. You ask me. I don't want to ask a badge maker. Well, we will run, all right? So let me press on before I digress. Right. So we should be that privileged to have a chapel. We should be that privileged to have a church. We should have the privilege to have a temple and a building for us to meet regularly. Now, this is also the reason why, as the Old Testament story come to an end during the time of Nehemiah, the people of God, God's people, took it upon themselves and made a vow, a covenant, that they will not neglect the house of their God. You can find this in Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 39. Now, God's dwelling place is the house of God. So today, if we are here and we say this is a dwelling place or a place of worship, a place of gathering, a place to be encouraged, and we say God is here and God is with us, then this is God's dwelling place. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God himself told Moses, let's take the first building project in the Old Testament. God himself told Moses, to build him a dwelling place. God told him. It wasn't Moses' idea. To build him a dwelling place. God called it a tabernacle, meaning a large tent. And he appointed some people out to lead it. And the community rallied around it and built it. If you read Exodus chapter 31, verse 1 to 11, you hear God say, "Now, Moses, you bring me Aholiab. Bring me Bezalel. Bring me Bezalel first and Aholiab to be his assistant, to be his helper. And I will give you a plan for them to build me a dwelling place." God also went on to tie this dwelling place or tabernacle to his Sabbath. Are you listening? To his Sabbath as a holy day for his people to gather to praise him, to pray, to hear his word, and to have community with thanksgiving and celebrations. If you read Exodus 31, verse 13 to 18, it tells you that. After he said, "Moses, build me a dwelling place that I will stay there so that people will come in and worship me, so that they can hear my voice, so that they can feel me so close to them, so that they can also come to me so close and cry and scream and tell me what is on their heart. Now I want you to understand that this is tied to my Sabbath." So it said, "Now I'm making a covenant between me and yourself that remember the Sabbath day and keep it, for it's holy." It's a holy day. It's a day that we have to set aside to worship God. So each time we are talking about God being with us and God's temple or God's tabernacle or a place of worship, then God is telling us that we should also keep that practice for all generations of going into that place to worship God instead of staying home. Are we listening? Instead of staying home. And it was because of the fact that the people of Israel did not obey God in literally keeping the Sabbath for 490 years that they went into exile for 70 years. God said, "You violated my Sabbath. You did not meet. You did not take that day and set it aside as a holy day." Holy means that not because I don't sin or something. Holy means that something that has been set aside for God. You understand that? So if he says it's a holy day, God said that you have set that day aside. And says 6 days you have to do everything that you have to do, but set aside one day for me. And I want you to be before me in my tabernacle, in my sanctuary, in my temple, in my tent, and to worship me as a community. Following on from that, or flowing out from this tabernacle, will be the love of God expressed through his people to the surrounding community and nations, so that when they see how God has blessed his people, they also will want to worship the only true God to receive some of his love and his blessings too. God wants his love to flow out of the tabernacle, his temple, the meeting place, the tent of meeting, right? He wants his love to flow out of it to the community and to the nations. In fact, Jesus Christ said, "Go out to all nations and preach the gospel. And anyone who receive it and believe it and is made a disciple, baptize that person in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." God wants his love to flow through him because God is love. 1 John chapter 4 said, "Beloved, God is love." You understand that? God is love. He is the embodiment of all love. He invented love. Not the Greeks. Not the Valentine card and roses. Not all the men who love women and all the women who love men. They did not invent it. God is the embodiment of it. So if you are actually loving somebody, it's a normal thing to do. You understand that? It's not sin to love, you know. God wants our love to flow out of the church to the surrounding communities and the nations, so that they will also see how lovely these people are. How many times have people come to this church and say, "You guys are so welcoming, so loving. And I hope this love will continue as long as you're here." Amen. Because it flows out of the heart of God to his people. Now, the whole Israelite community listened to what Moses said, because Moses said, God said this. And after God has said it, the last verse of Exodus chapter 31, God said, "Now, Moses, I am writing it on tablets of stone for you." And God gave it to him as a commandment. So the idea of a tabernacle or a temple of our building project is God's idea. He wrote it in stone for his people. So the Israelites, so Moses went back to the people. If you look at chapter 35, the first three verses, he started by talking about the Sabbath. And I'm thinking, God ended with the Sabbath after he's called him in chapter 31. And when Moses went back to report to the people, he started saying, "Now set aside a day for the Lord to meet. And to meet the Lord. But for that to happen, we have to build God a dwelling place so that we can go there and worship him." And the people listened to Moses and rallied to build the tabernacle of the Lord. We read from Exodus chapter 35, verse 4, 2 to 29. I'm not going to read everything, so that will spare you, but I want you to go home to read that for yourself. "That when God commissioned his people to build him a house, he moved them and stirred them to give generously for that purposes." So I read from verse 4. "Moses said to the whole Israelite community, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skin, dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incenses, and all his stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breast pieces.'" I'm looking at that. God said to build him a house. And I'm looking at that. It's quite an expensive house, isn't it? Maybe some of you don't know. Those of you who are married, I'm sure if your husband went into Deptford Market to the pound shop and got you a ring, you would have thrown it back at him, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You would throw it at him, surely. And if it was you who bought your husband the wedding suit and garments and everything, and you went to Bernardus and got it and said, "You know what, I saw a lovely shop out there called Bernardus and I bought this for you." It doesn't matter how much you pay for it, the person who probably would throw it back at you, isn't it? I don't know how much it costs these days to get married, but I think it's quite a few thousands, if not more. So, you can see here where I'm going and what God is saying. It's not me saying it, but what the Word of God tells us at this first building project. What they did was that it was kind of an expensive tent. So God is trying to tell my house is not cheap because I am not a cheap God. You understand that? I am the God who does all these things. And I was watching Sochi Olympic Games 4 years ago, Winter Olympic Games, and they didn't have much snow in certain places. And they had to go and bring in vehicles to actually make snow for those places. And it must have cost them a lot, isn't it? And we had a lot of snow, and people had sledges, even in our country, for free. Do you get that? And sometimes you go to the hospital and I've never given birth before, and probably I will never give birth before, in a natural sense, having a baby in my womb, right? But some of you women have. And get to a point that they put some gas on you. And then you love it, isn't it? Just to ease the pain for you, begin to breathe some gas. Do you know that gas is not cheap? Do you know that? And you think about the air that God gives it to you freely. You don't have to put it in the bottle. I mean, you can have as much as you want for free. And you don't have to worry about that. You think about it. Are we not so grateful to this God? Are you not? Certainly, I am grateful to this God. And if God were to put a price on it, none of us will live. Maybe some of you can buy it. But certainly, I don't know if I can buy enough for a day and for my family. For what I have in my pocket, it will run out after 30 minutes. But God gives that to us for free. Then the whole Israelite, verse 20. The Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence. And everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all his services, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. I'm going to say my wife's. They all presented their gold as wave offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. See, if you give a wave offering to the Lord, that means you give it freely. You understand that? Wave offering. You give it freely. He said, look at this. This is important to me, but I give it out for free. Verse 29, last verse then. And all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offering for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. That was the first building project. I will speed up on the next two to make up time for us. Now, the second building project was this. David had it in his heart to build the Lord a temple. King David might be an unlikely candidate to build God a house to dwell in because of his checkered past, like some of us. Maybe you are holy, maybe you are sinless. I am not. And maybe you think, oh, we're not willing, or we are not worthy to build God a house. But let's hear this. Moses was not worthy to build God a house. Why? We would judge him as a sinner, wouldn't we? We would judge him as an adulterer. We judge him as a murderer. We judge him as a liar. We judge him as a smooth operator. We judge him on all counts, don't we? And some of us, we can identify with that. But in here, but David knew God and had a heart after God and the things that concerns him. So King David knew how to live a life of confession and a life of thanksgiving and did what is right before God. Therefore, when Paul was preaching in a church in Antioch, as recorded in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, this is what we read. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. I have found Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do whatever I want him to do. David saw a need in his time to build God a temple. Because David, all his life, as a servant, as a shepherd, and then as a king, he didn't deserve to be called to become a king. Saul was of a different tribe than David. But the Bible said God removed Saul. Why? Because Saul did not spend time to know God for himself and to do all that God wanted him to do. He was more interested in building his own agenda and building a name for himself. In fact, he was more interested in building a statue at the middle of Lewisham Market just to celebrate his victories. He wasn't interested in God. And all this while, God was living in a tent. And David said, look at me. I am a king. And the King of Kings is the Lord Yahweh, Yeshua. And yet, I live in a temple, and my God still lives in a tent with lambskin and hide and dye purple and other things. I'm going to build my God a temple so that I'll bring his anointing, his Ark of the Covenant into that temple so that when we meet, we will meet in a place where we can glorify God. Not that we couldn't before, but I want God to know that we value him and that if he's with us, then we want him to know that if we can live in houses, he should live in a better house. Hallelujah. So Moses said, I will build God a house. So he had it in his heart to build God a house. Unfortunately, he didn't. Because God said, your hand has seen too many murders. Too many blood. Because David was fighting battles all the time and killing people. For that reason, God said, you will not build it. But because your heart is in your heart and your mind to build me a house, someone from your loins, your offspring will build that house. And his name is Solomon. Hallelujah. David saw a need. Therefore, when David had it in his heart to build God a temple, he provided generously for Solomon to build it, and the glory of the Lord came to fill it. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and chapter 7, you see how God's glory filled the temple that was built. But you see, Solomon only came to build it. David provided generously for that. Now let us read something from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 to 9. Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, my son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is so young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stones and marbles. I'm reading from New Living Translations. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. I am donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the building and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. Now then, who will follow my example and give offering to the Lord today? I'll read on. Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribe of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, that is captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, small group leaders even, and the king's administrative officers, I mean ministry leaders, all gave willingly for the construction of the temple of God. They gave about 118 tons of gold, 10,000 gold coins, like bitcoins, right? 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. And whoever had precious stones, this time I'm talking about everybody, whoever had precious stones also contributed willingly, which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord under the care of Jehai, a descendant of Gershon. Then the people rejoiced over the offering, for they had given freely, willingly, and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And King David was greatly filled with joy. David's words is, now then, who will follow my example and give an offering to the Lord? I'll talk about the last building project, and we'll bring to a close. The last building project was Zerubbabel's time. Now, in Zerubbabel's time, when the people of Israel returned from exile in Persia, the prophet Ezra spoke to them about the place of worship that was in ruins and that needed rebuilding. The people's hearts were touched after Ezra had spoken for 6 hours. He spoke for 6 hours. Are you listening? I speak for how many minutes sometimes? 30, 50, well, not much 30 most of these days. 40 minutes, 45, sometimes an hour. And I don't know what you want to do, but 6 hours. I'm not going to speak for 6 hours. Last week I spoke at St. John's in Deptford for 6 hours. And they were excited. My sister, you were there, weren't you? And you saw the feedback. Yes. I will spare you the 6 hours for today. Let's press on because we need to finish. The people's hearts were touched after Ezra had spoken for 6 hours. And they decided to contribute their money, resources, time, and effort for that to happen. Why? For God to be with them. For God to stay this time, not in an old tabernacle that had been carried from the time of Moses. From the time of Moses, hear that. Moses at that time was around 85 years old. He died when he was 120 years old. And Joshua took them. And Joshua led them briefly. And for another 400 years, they had a judges. And then they had Saul for 40 years. Then David's time. So you can see how old that tabernacle was. Are you getting it? More than 500 years old, they've been carrying the same thing. So when David said, no, I need to build my God something, he meant and knew exactly why he had to do something new. Instead of hanging around in that old thing. Because nobody put new wine in an old wine skin. Jesus said this, isn't it? So if we want a new wine, we have to put in a new wine skin. And that's what David was trying to say. So come, let's press on with Zerubbabel before, you raise the time against me. Now, under Zerubbabel's leadership, the people started with much enthusiasm to rebuild the temple of God. But by the sixth year, not much had been done. To the frustration of their leader, God's people had become apathetic and unconcerned, minding their own businesses. Some even doubted God and spoke against the idea of building a temple. Their contribution to the temple project was half-hearted at best, and in most cases, non-existent. But God cared about his house and said, if no one wants to come on board, he will build his own house. Are you with me? If no one will come on board, God will build his own house. And to encourage Zerubbabel, God said, by the mouth of an angel, and the prophet Zechariah wrote it, which is a verse that we all like quoting, which last a couple of weeks I quoted to you. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. This is what the Lord, or this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shout of God bless it. God bless it. What are you, O mountain? At the moment, it feels like a mountain before us to have a small building project, isn't it? Our building is 146 years old. July 1872 was when this building was built. In today's terms, it's about 4.2 or 4.5 million English pounds. 142 years ago, that's this when this building was built. Not much has been done over the years. Those of you who've been here forever, not much has been done. Clean, don't look at me. Not much has been done. Our fathers did what they could. At least about 15 years ago, maybe thereabout, maybe 12, I don't even remember, we had to spend about £55,000 to do the low hole. And we also had to spend about £10,000 to put these curtains, these fire-resistant curtains, yes. And these doors that you see behind you, another £10,000. Those are the visible ones that I remember. I remember the low hall changed. I remember having ladies' toilet downstairs. You wouldn't want to know that there was no men's toilet, that people had to go outside in the snow to spend a penny. Thank you. You'll never forget. Right. So some will never forget. I wasn't even born. But here we are. That God will do it by his power. He would love to do it with you. So together we all as church community will shout, God bless it. God bless it. Indeed, we shout of grace, grace to it. Our breeding project is going to start this year, July 2018. After we've secured the funds for it. Say amen to that. I have that conviction in my heart. And I believe so. Some have even seen visions of it. And I believe so. Some have hoped for it. And I believe so. The leaders have said it. And I believe so. And some of you have said it. And I believe so. Others said it will never happen. And I don't believe so. Amen. Hallelujah. About 3.5 years ago, the reality dawned on our hearts about the plight of older people, vulnerable people, disabled people, mothers with young children, and the leadership of this church decided something needed to be done to give all people access to our building. This also to comply with current regulations about health and safety laws in the country. We therefore decided as South Street Baptist Church leadership to undertake a building project. Some of you responded to it and gave generously towards it, for which we are extremely grateful. Some of you raised funds through various means, whether crafts by your hands, walking, or literally pestering your family for that to happen, and friends, and you got some money for us. We did so many fundraising activities. And I will say thank you so much. And those of you who also committed your money, real cash, to do this, I will say thank you so much. Without you, we couldn't have done that. We have done all we could in the last 2.5 years to now tender the project and have received responses from interested contractors. As at December, just before Christmas last year, during this period, we have employed various consultants, architects, and other professionals to help us at a total cost of approximately $50,000 to date. This has all been paid for, and we currently have about £52,000 in our building project account. Is that good news? It is good news indeed. I've never seen this church raise that money. We've paid 50. And we still have 52 hot money in the account. Building project, ring fence. That means you cannot use it for any other thing apart from building project related cost. You understand that? That is what you've done. The church also asked us to make a video to raise awareness and to solicit funds and support for this project. So to end my service, my sermon, I want us to look at this video. It's about 2.5 minutes, and then I'll bring it to a conclusion. If some of these lights can go off, then we watch it. Make sure the volume comes on first before you press the button. Thank you.
My name is Gideon Nash.
I'm the executive pastor of South Street Baptist Church.
When it was built, some of the things that we go through today were not put into consideration.
Well, modernising the building would make it easy for everyone.
We miss part of society and part of the community in Greenwich because they can't access the church.
On a Sunday morning, you see people out there helping elderly people in the building or helping people with the prams.
We have a downstairs hall and we tend to use it for mothers with little children, and sometimes going down the stairs from the main sanctuary to the lower hall
are very dangerous because they're old, stone, and they're very windy.
This project involves level access into the building, and then from within the building, access to downstairs via a lift so that users can use the lower level of accommodation. Create a new entrance area that can accommodate both the lift and an accessible toilet, and then externally provide a ramp down to the lower level rather than just using the steps at the moment.
Unfortunately, when you're able-bodied, you don't notice things like that, but as soon as you become a little bit disabled like I am, you find it so much harder.
The church is not just on a Sunday. The church is part of the community and it'll be open to everyone in the community with the modernisation. That's what excites me, the future of the church.
We've recently obtained planning approval and we're now working on the detailed drawings so that we can invite contractors to tender for the project.
We're looking to raise £350,000. Please support this project to become a reality.
This can enable the church to get more into the community because the heart of the church wants to serve the community.
Donating and supporting this project will mean it will happen quicker.
It will benefit everybody who comes into this church.
Give what you can afford. It could be £5, £10, £50. Some can afford £100, £500, £1,000. And in that way, the project will be reachable.
Find out how you can give through the website, through talking to people from church, get people in your community involved, people from your schools, whatever, anybody that could help the project, because it's not just a South Street thing, but it's a community project.
And we look forward to seeing the building come back to life and bring it forward to the 21st century.
Thank you so much. And everybody you see on that video is a real human being from this church. I never told them what to say. They didn't even rehearse what to say. These are the things that were in their minds and in their hearts. And they came to say that freely on that day. I was so overwhelmed that when it was my turn to say something, I didn't even know what to say. So you can see that I said very little, isn't it? It was in their mind, just like David, to do that. So some of the people in this video did not even see their vision fulfilled. Some have since died. Like one of the old men who was going down the stairs, used to sit at the back. He's died. Many are still alive today, but some have since died. I remember my mother, Gloria Bygrave, called me one day and said, "Pastor, my health is not holding strong. Make sure you build this ramp before I die." And she died without seeing that. It grieves my heart indeed to hear things like that and to say things like that. But I'm saying this for you to understand the importance of this. This is not Pastor Ben Davis' idea. Children were being born and some have since been born in this church. It's the leadership seeing the need. And some of the kids who were in prams are now walking in this church. How many children do you want to see walking or in prams? How many elderly people do you want to exclude from going to Smiley Toast or coming to be part of our service before we do something about it? Now, in our last vision and culture time, we spoke about a building project this January, and our sister Rose rather spoke passionately and alluded to it a fortnight ago in the preach. Now, I can say in the last 2.5 years that we made this video, some of us have received God's mercy with our lives back from the dead. I speak for myself. Others have had healings, and many more have had job opportunities, promotions, children, marriages, etc. in the last 3 years. And it's not by chance that God has been gracious to you and me. Let us therefore be a people that have a heart to build for the sake of our community and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, I will say this, that following our vision and culture night, myself and my house voluntarily and independently, have decided to commit ourselves to give regularly to the building project, in addition to our tithes and offerings, until every debt on it is paid off. I would not have loved to stand here today to ask you to give to this building project. We've done everything. People say, why don't you go and ask for other charities and for grants and other things? Bramwell can tell you. Our sister Kemi can tell you. Sam Leary can tell you. We've spent hours completing applications upon application upon applications. We haven't got a penny from this. Someone told us that, oh, you don't have to do that. Get some people who do that for a pay. They are specialists. Anybody we try to contact, they said, we've stopped doing this. It's too hard a work to do. So it's not that we haven't tried. We've tried every means to do that. And something that I never wanted us to do is to go for a loan. But then unfortunately, or as a last resort, that is what we are going to go for. And we're going to put in our application shortly for a decision to be made by the 20th of March. And we're going to do that by approaching the Baptist Property Board to tell them that they should lend us some money, and they will lend it to us over 10 years to pay. But I am convinced beyond reasonable doubt that it will not take 10 years for us to pay. We'll pay it a lot quicker than that. I'm convinced in my heart, and I know this for sure. And if you stay in this church for that long, you see and know that what I am saying today is that we'll pay off that money before those 10 years are due. And some said they want to commit themselves until that loan is paid off. Some said 10 years, some said 2 years. But we said at least think about 2 years. And if we go for that loan, it will mean that every month we have to give about £3,000 to the lenders. In fact, if we go to the Wesleyan Bank or any commercial loan, I was checking the figures that we've received from a bank. If we go through them, it's £3,600 every month. So it's a big saving, isn't it? To go through the Baptist. It may even be less. And that is what we will do. And please forgive me if you think this is a huge burden on you. But look at David. It was such a priceless temple. Look at Moses, such a priceless temple. Look at Zerubbabel, was such a priceless temple. So I'm therefore appealing to you, as David said, now then, who will follow my example and give an offering to the Lord by completing a standing order for the building project? As Pastor Ben David said, give what you can afford. I'm putting no burden on you except to say, give what you can afford. He said you can give £50, you can give £100, you can give £200, £500,000. If you're able to, give what you can afford. And let's believe God that this project will happen. Shall we all say amen to that?
Amen.
Thank you. So as I'm going down, some of you may see on your chairs, there is this pamphlet that is sitting on it. If you want one, ask us and we'll give it to you. Please grab it, read it, complete what is in it. And if you're able to, put it in the offering box. But do so prayerfully and do that. And let's believe God for that. I'm doing what I'm doing, not because I think I am all loaded. I am not. I live by the mercy and grace of you people in this church, but more so by the grace of God. So, I've set an example for you. Let's trust God. Let's believe God prayerfully. Shall we pray?